The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy. And welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassard. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, with the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. You can also get us worldwide 365 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, when you go to those two platforms, it's best to use a computer or even a laptop. Sometimes the phone does not give you the entire experience. Also, when you're there, make sure you visit the locally produced programs page, and there you'll find our archives for World in Crisis, the last four programs that roll over each week, so there's a new program each week, are there for you to listen to at your leisure, plus some embedded programs that John thinks are vitally important for you to understand exactly what's going on in the world and how it is related to biblical prophecy. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. No matter where you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are so privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us are in a spiritual war which began somewhere in eternity. And the only way and your only hope of surviving this war is to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, you only have two choices. You can choose life through Jesus Christ, or you can choose death and hell. God does not send people to hell. They choose to go there because the pardon is available and it's free. And Jesus paid the eternal penalty for sin with his life's blood. I beg you this very night that you might pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart so as to be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Right, John. And of course, the World in Crisis is a subsidiary, if you will, of the Watchman on the Wall Ministries, which we are a part of. And as the Watchman on the Wall, it is our job to warn you, to let the people know what's coming down the line. Get prepared so you can make plans. And if you decide, well, I'm just going to wait till later and make a plan, or I'm not going to make a plan, I'm just not going to decide at all, well, you've already decided, because there is no gray area with this. Sometimes there's nuances in life, I get that, but not with this one. It's either black or white, it's death or life. You get to choose. God doesn't choose for you, but he will certainly be obligated to give you whatever it is that you choose.
Well, and that is precisely correct. We have many choices in life, but this is one that every person drawing breath has to make. And as Rob noted, if you don't make a choice, you've already made it. Jesus Christ declared, if you're not for me, you are against me. I think we had some email or a question.
Yes, we did. And I thought it was very interesting. It's coming on the heels of the election, so you know that's on top of people's mind. The question was, how, if any, what way, if any way, does Trump's cabinet selections have to do with the 10 kings in Revelation and possibly even the 12 tribes of Israel?
Well, the short answer is they have no relationship to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay.
The reference there in Revelation is to the selection of 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel who will evangelize the world during that period of time, 144,000.
That's 144,000.
Correct. Now, what John does describe are 10 kings that will arise. They have no kingdom yet, but they receive a kingdom, and they give their authority to the beast in 1 hour, 60 minutes. These men are not cabinet appointees. My exegesis would be that they will be selected out of the ranks of the 13 elite bloodline families. such as Rothschild, Rockefeller, Plantagenet, Windsor, and so forth. They likely will preside over 12 economic zones, 10 economic zones. There are 10 extant today, and it will be will be the economic piece, and it will be an economic system of control. So you would have a one-world political, one-world economic, and one-world religious system. It will be a system of absolute totalitarian control under Antichrist and the false prophet. So that's that would be my response to the listener's question.
Well, we appreciate that, and I'm sure it gives some closure. Now, we realize that a lot of we have new listeners every week, and sure. Sometimes they'll come in the middle of a discussion and may not pick it up, all of it, and so we certainly encourage those questions. We try to get to one every week. We're not always successful, but we try to, and we encourage you to keep those coming. Now, before we get too deep, John, the quote of the day is always a very, very well-received portion of the program.
Apparently so. And this evening, the quote comes from Dr. Thomas Sowell, a brilliant man, quoting, "There have always been ignorant people, but they haven't always had college degrees to make them unaware of their ignorance. Some people imagine they are well-informed because they have memorized a whole galaxy of trendy dogmas and fashionable attitudes," unquote. And that just resonated with me and the nonsense that we're seeing outworking in our world today.
Well, it resonates with me because you're talking about education or whatever. And to me, when I think about that, I go to secondary education and the colleges and universities, mainly here in the United States, because that's what I'm familiar with. But not kidding at all, the absolute anti-Israel, anti-American vitriol that is allowed to go on those college campuses, which in large part are financed by your tax dollars, is just wrong on so many levels, I can't even begin to enumerate what they are.
Well, look, this is related to the outworking of the plan of God, ladies and gentlemen. Zechariah 12 describes that at the end of the tribulation period, that the entire world will turn against Israel and, in fact, go to war against Jerusalem. And when the Lord Jesus comes back at the second coming, during the height of that battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Jezreel, what he will see and will enter into judgment with are all the nations of the world represented there.
Mm-hmm.
They will be annihilated in that valley. In fact, the Bible describes that blood will flow bridle deep to a horse for 100 miles down the Jordan River Valley. Now, you can't get your mind around such things. We've never seen such things. There is no paradigm. There is no frame of reference or context within which to understand that type of carnage and destruction.
There's no way.
No, absolutely not. And so at that time, one-third of, there's a surviving remnant. One-third of Israel survives. And when they see the Lion of the Tribe of Judah roaring out of the heavens, they will know instantly that it was the carpenter's son after all. And, of course, the Mount of Olives splits in two. When his feet hit it, half that mountain moving toward the north, half toward the south, creating a valley. That surviving remnant will flee into that valley, and then Christ will enter into judgment and sweep the plain. It will be horrific, an horrific judgment. And by evening, he will have ascended Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, and he will assume the throne of David forever. And no power on earth can stop it.
Nothing can stop it. All you can do is prepare for it.
The way you prepare is that you get saved.
Exactly.
That you receive the Lord Jesus into your heart.
So you don't have to be here.
That's right. So the question is, are you rapture ready? That's the real question, because Christ is coming back for the church soon. Now, last week, and I was not able to conclude, we were discussing would finding alien life change religious perspectives. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to last week's show, of course, so that you have some continuity. And, of course, we already are seeing such nonsense as UFO religions and that type of thing. And certainly with the advent of AI, we may see even more lunacy. In fact, the next piece I'm going to share is Bill Gates demands a new religion for humanity. So there are many paths to destruction, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ said, wide is the way to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. The narrow gate is Jesus Christ. So picking up from last week, ideas about extraterrestrial life, if they're part of the sacred writings, they're buried deeper. And this was an apologist named Weintraub, interviewed in with Live Science. They're not obvious. They're layered below the top. In Jewish scripture, there's pretty much nothing there. You really have to overinterpret to find anything that you can marginally say might relate to extraterrestrial life. Now, some say there are some people, and particularly the ancient alien theorists, that Ezekiel's wheel would be an example of a UFO, that it's just misinterpreted. But, of course, that's absolutely not correct. Of course, aliens have figured into the beliefs of small cults and fringe religious groups for who knows how long. And a famous example, 39 members of the so-called Heaven's Gate group committed suicide, believing they would leave their earthly bodies and reach an alien spacecraft traveling behind Hale-Bopp Comet in 1997. Weintraub didn't look at these groups, nor did he analyze Scientology, but he said it's likely that future religions would spring up and seize on the discovery of extraterrestrial life. And certainly, it would be my exegesis, and we have discussed this at some length in past years and so forth, but the alien issue, which is now in mainstream thought, is out in mainstream media. Information is being released. In fact, we've had de facto disclosure, if you will.
Right.
Because the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense, about a year ago, when they had the congressional hearings on Capitol Hill about these objects that were videotaped from Navy fighter aircraft, are unknowns. They don't know what it is. But they are. He admitted that they are real, and they can't explain it. And there's probably much more to it, a vast amount of data and information that is not made available to the public because they're probably scared to death. But it will be central to the lie.
They have to have an explanation.
Correct. When the rapture occurs and hundreds of millions of people vanish across the world, how do you explain that? Beam me up, Scotty. And so we are going – these entities – have been here for thousands of years. One of the taglines in the Ancient Alien series, and sometimes they get pretty close with things, but they can't connect the dots. They can't cough out. They cannot acknowledge God, and certainly not his son. But in any event, they say, we have never been alone. Well, actually, that's a true statement. We have never been alone, because since the fall, when Satan rebelled, and somewhere in eternity, which is not defined, but then he took his rebellion into the garden, and Adam sinned, creating the fall. He died spiritually instantly, which condemned him to die physically. So as Paul described, by one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death upon all men. And that included the creation. Now, one of these days, I'm going to discuss animals in heaven. Be assured that if you're saved, you will see your beloved pets again. They're in heaven. There are all kinds of animals in heaven. As a matter of fact, I have prima facie evidence in the book of Revelation, because when Jesus comes back, he's riding a white horse, and so are we. We're riding white horses too. Well, the Greek there is hippos. And you know what that means, Rob? It's a horse.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real, there's nothing metaphorical about this. And so, listen, what you find is that earth is just a blemished image of the heavenly. And so, when God created man, animals, plant, all of this, and declared it good, you see, the animals were designed to live forever, too.
Right. Exactly.
Now, they are not morally accountable, their life force and so forth. And Job talks about the life and soul of every living creature. They're not like us. They were not created in the image of God, but he certainly loved them, and they were designed to last forever just like we were.
Well, like an artist, if you will. They love their creation.
That's correct. And he will restore it. Behold, I make all things new. He didn't say I'm going to make all new things. He's going to restore the entire creation. However, and it groans to be delivered from the curse. In fact, in Romans 8, when it talks about the entire creation groans to be delivered from the curse at the revealing of the sons of man, when we are redeemed in terms of spiritual bodies, permanent bodies, the Greek there is aliyahu. It means literally to deliver from mortality. So Jesus Christ is going to restore his creation, is what I'm trying to explain to you. But right now, we have to come to grips that we are in this conflict where Satan wants to destroy us. And if you're saved, what he wants to do is to destroy your witness and shut you up. And that's what his minions want to do. That's why we have all this political conflict and so forth. Politics is a tool of the devil. There's no escaping that reality. We have to live in it. We have to deal with it. We're not political pundits on this show, but we are trying to connect the dots for you so that you understand this all leads to one end, which is the kingdom of Antichrist during the tribulation period. Jesus Christ is going to remove his church before that judgment begins. Now, once it does begin, Paul said that God would send strong delusion that they might believe a lie. What is the lie? Well, the aliens are central to the lie.
Exactly.
Because they are already, and I'm going to be progressing with this here shortly, and please listen to last week's show. In any event, the aliens are claiming they're contactees. They're people who have experienced abductions. They're all kind. You can read about it in the in literature. There's all kind of documentation and so forth. But they are claiming to be our creators, not God, the aliens. They also deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Why would they come millions of light years or whatever it is just to deny biblical Christianity?
Yeah, and to, you know, just to be honest, how would they know?
Right. And so when a saucer lands on the south lawn of the White House and a couple of fallen angels get out to have a photo op with Antichrist, and they'll declare that he is Christ. So will the false prophet.
He's the leader. He's the one you've been waiting for.
Right. And so they will believe a lie at that time, and God sends strong delusion. So there are a lot of so-called UFO religions, Rob. I'm sure if we discovered there was really life beyond Earth, there would be lots more of that type of thing. And this, according to Weintraub, there undoubtedly would be people who would find this an opportunity or an excuse to call attention to themselves for whatever reason, and there would be new religions, and you could be assured of it. So with advances in exoplanet research and astrobiology, scientists could realistically be on top of finding evidence for life far away from Earth, perhaps not intelligent life, but life nonetheless. That's why Weintraub thinks the rest of us should be prepared for the spiritual questions that would follow. Astronomers should participate in that conversation, since questions like, is there life in the universe, now belongs to the domain of science, not just philosophy. So we are moving rapidly to a point that people are going to be making decisions based on this type of information.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It doesn't matter what kind of life it is, Weintraub said. If there's any kind of life at all, it simply means we're not alone. And knowing we're not alone, I think, has a lot of meaning. I believe so. You can cross-reference go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and read the chapter, because Paul describes how the coming of the lawless one would be in accordance with the activity of Satan and with all false signs and lying wonders, which we have discussed. But the lying wonders, Greek there, in that particular passage, literally means that there are signs in the heavens. and related to, listen to this, strange appearances in the heavens. The Greek is teres. And so clearly this would indicate and relate to this UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena, or UFO activity. And these things have been here since time immemorial. They brought technology to man. The fallen angels, which came to Earth through dimensional portals during the before the flood, Genesis 6,
mm-hmm.
And they cohabitated with women, producing a race of giants. These were the Nephilim. Now the Hebrew there is Nephal, meaning fallen ones. So clearly, and by the way, the Hebrew describes the angels there, the sons of God, as B'nai Elohim. It's the same Hebrew term used in Job to describe the angels who saw the creation, and they sang for joy. So there's no question that these were angels, fallen
right.
angels.
Right.
Because I've been challenged, and so have other ministers, been challenged with, well, the Bible says the angels are not given or taken in marriage. So that can't, well, yeah, it can be, because that is true for the holy angels of God, but these are fallen angels. The Bible, the book of Jude, describes how they left their first estate and lusted after strange flesh.
Well, there
so
you go.
These were fallen angels, and apparently they can procreate because they did. And that is described in Genesis 6. So the flood killed the giants, but not the fallen angels. The fallen angels are spiritual entities, and they are eternal beings. But the giants who were drowned in the flood, their spirits roam the earth as demonic. And I explained this, I believe, last week, Rob, that
yes,
you
absolutely.
Have two different types of evil forces, demonic forces arrayed against you, the fallen ones, which are actually fallen angels, and then the demons, which are the spirits of the Nephilim, which roam the earth. All righty, then. It almost doesn't matter what kind of life it is, Weintraub said. And so, and by the way, there's something called the Fermi paradox.
Confirming paradox?
No, the Fermi, F-E-R-M-I.
Oh, gotcha.
The Fermi paradox. And what that simply states is, if there's so much life in the universe, where is it? With all our sophisticated telescopes and
mm-hmm.
Telescopes in space, we haven't found any life. The life is coming from the spirit realm, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming through dimensional portals into the three-dimensional world. And I know we're up against a hard break when we pick this up.
Yes, we are. Let's go ahead and take it. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, with studios of Whispering 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. You can get us 365 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. And when you visit there, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis, and there you'll find our archives. Now, on our archives page, there are the last four programs, and one of them rolls off each week, so there's some new content there just about every week. And then there are several programs there that are embedded into the webpage there that we think are very important for you to listen to get a really, really good base for what's going on in the world and how biblical prophecy is being played out in the news media. We also would like for you to, if you would consider, to use a computer or a laptop, because sometimes a telephone does not give you the entire experience. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, some scientists, of course, think it might be millions of years before humans discover and are able to communicate with intelligent alien beings, if they're out there. They communicated with intelligent alien beings thousands of years ago, most notably on the plains, they were trying to, on the plains of Shinar. But
right.
The 200 angels, fallen angels, that descended onto Mount Hermon during the days before the flood, the antediluvian world, communicated all sorts of esoteric knowledge to the Sumerians, as well as things like agriculture, metallurgy, weapons of war, astrology, astronomy, a codified system of laws, writing, and mathematics. I was a history major before I changed to business, and I remember a major professor saying that history began at Sumer on the upbanks of the Nile, and it appeared that civilization, much like we know it today, occurred virtually overnight, and historians can't explain it. That's because they cannot acknowledge the Bible. But that, in fact, is what happened. They went from virtually a Stone Age or Iron Age mentality and technology to a very sophisticated civilization.
Yeah, doing all kinds of really advanced mathematics and stuff.
That's all kinds of things like that. You're precisely right. So after the flood, the first seat of Satan was on the plains of Shinar in ancient Babylon. It was the first one-world system under Nimrod, containing both a political, economic, and religious components. So what they intended to do, and this is described in Genesis 11, they were going to build a tower which reached to heaven. Now, they weren't trying to climb up there into God's heaven. What they were trying to do was to construct a dimensional portal where they could regain contact with the fallen ones and the esoteric knowledge which existed before the flood. God couldn't allow that to happen. When the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, he said, "Behold, the people is one, and they speak the same language, and now nothing they have imagined to do will be impossible for them." Now, he scattered them abroad across the face of the earth. He confused the language. That's what was called Babel. And that was the beginning of the nation-state system.
Yes.
Acts 26 describes how he set the boundaries of the nations. So God believes in borders, even if men don't. And now we have come 360 degrees. There is no barrier to communication or travel, and the world is moving to a point where, once again, the world will be as one.
You can download on your smartphone right now a program that can both translate from whatever language to English and back, so that communication, as you said, is virtually seamless now.
Right. And so we are moving toward one world under Antichrist.
Right.
Understand that the first one world system on the plains of Shinar is the template for the last one world system. And we are rapidly approaching that point. So it's worth extending the thought experiment to consider how we would treat aliens of different faiths. Would we repeat the mistakes of European missionaries who converted the, quote, heathens of the New World to Christianity? Or would we adopt a policy that looks more like the no interference prime directive of Star Trek? Would sentient alien beings have their own religion? Would they try to preach to us? More than likely, because they're going to claim to be the creators,
right?
So that man will worship them. As a matter of fact, more specifically, Antichrist, and not the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you think about this enough, it's worth recognizing that if it's okay for somebody of a different part of the universe to have a different religion, maybe it's okay for somebody else in a different part of the earth to have a different religion as well.
Yes.
Maybe we could figure something out down here that could make us all get along a little better. Well, that sounds cozy, doesn't it?
Doesn't
it, all join hands and sing Kumbaya. but actually, we are not alone in this world, and never have been, but I can assure you this. The world is being prepared for the kingdom of Antichrist, for the false religion of Antichrist and his false prophet. And most of that will directly relate to UFOs and the fallen.
And boil it down to people that may not have heard this before. We've said it many, many times. Something has to be an explanation for the hundreds of millions of people that suddenly are no longer amongst us.
Right, who vanish into thin air.
Yeah.
And by the way, we discussed this, I don't know, many, many times. We're coming up on a 15-year anniversary.
Yes, sir.
First week in February. So when the rapture occurs, there will not only be clothes, There will be false teeth and hip.
Planes falling out of the sky.
Knees, all kinds of stuff.
Trains running off the tracks. I mean, it'll be disaster day. There'll be more disasters in one day than have ever happened probably in the history of the world combined.
Right. If you think people were terrified or frightened during the Wuhan, this will be on steroids. It will be terror on steroids, exponentially worse than anything we have ever seen.
Absolutely
in this world. So, interesting, Bill Gates demands a new religion, Dateline 31 October. It's a mask-off moment, ladies and gentlemen, on the Possible podcast co-hosted by LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman. Gates insisted humanity would need a new religion or philosophy to cope with the reality of artificial intelligence and the technological conquest of the world. In his final comment on the episode, which Hoffman called a tour de force, Gates reflects at length on the spiritual situation he believes unbridled technology is coercing us into. Maybe we want to focus on ensuring people aren't led into the darkness of worshiping their machines or automating their religion, indeed. The potential positive path is so good it will force us to rethink how we should use our time. You can almost call it a new religion or a new philosophy. How do we stay connected with each other, not addicted to these things that'll make video games look like nothing in terms of the attractiveness of spending time on them? This world is going to be deceived. And not only that, God will send strong delusion that will help them along.
Yes.
On the surface, Gates seems to be advancing a claim plenty of people agree with. The idea that the coming virtual world will be so tempting to disappear into that only a deep source of spiritual authority will be enough to remind us that we're still best off sharing life together as human beings. But not just the virtual world, he's not just talking about the virtual world. So it's fascinating that we will, have disease and enough food or climate things, if that goes well, so those will become largely solved problems. No, I don't think so. Jesus Christ said the poor will always be with you, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
As you know, the next generation does get to say, given that some things that were massively in shortage are now not, how do we take advantage? Here's where things get tricky. You might have wondered already why Gates, if he feels so sure we need cosmic protection against cyber zombies, doesn't immediately reach out for a religion that already exists and flourishes, especially Christianity, which still dominates American faith identification and significant segments of public life. Now, a lot of people who profess to be Christians are just that. They profess but don't possess the new life, you see. His assumption is that tech will make obsolete at least some of the words of Christ, such as "you have the poor with you always," which I just noted. And, of course, Mr. Gates would like to make God a liar. Unfortunately, God's word stands. And that, by the way, is a declarative statement of God.
Yes.
So that's not going to happen. Now, one might say that if physical sickness and hunger are solved problems, many might still suffer from mental and spiritual illness and thirst. But even that logic is not what Gates is interested in. He's more concerned about sports. How do we ban AI from being used in certain endeavors so humans can get like robots playing baseball? We probably don't want to do that because they'll be too good.
Right.
This is all madness. Maybe so broadly that we'd want to focus on ensuring people aren't led into darkness of worshiping their machines or automating their religion. Perhaps there's something we need to do already, not after the machines and their self-appointed masters, even well-intentioned, drag us to a place where our given humanity is almost unrecognizable. And, of course, this is, as I said, utter madness, Rob.
Absolutely. And I might just add, too, that Gates might not be supporting Christianity in America because if he does, the Muslims will kill him.
Well, Mr. Gates is lost as a ball in high weeds. speaking of such things, as I said, the election provided a reprieve, not a pardon. And we discussed this. There was a question, I think, right after the election about what does this mean? And my exegesis was it means that the church, which has been seeing increasing persecution over the last 8 years.
Oh, yes.
Some of that will be throttled back and hopefully give us some breathing space to complete our mission, which is the Great Commission, which is to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. We're up against a hard break, but I'm going to give you the tagline here on a lighter note. Witches report their spells against Trump aren't working anymore. He has a shield. Indeed. We'll pick
all
this
right
up after the break.
Let's take a time out after that one. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm Rob Jordan. We're sitting in the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM at WJJC 1270 AM in Commerce, Georgia. You can get us 365 and 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this was a particularly interesting piece, Dateline 28 October. witches report their spells against Trump aren't working. He has a shield. Indeed. Now, one of the things I pointed out after the election on Thursday evening was that it is clear God has anointed Trump for such a time as this.
Yeah, for something.
You cannot explain how that man has survived against all odds, including three assassination attempts. Not two. They also caught a man with a long gun,
They don't ever report that one.
They try to ignore that, but in Los Angeles. So outside of his venue trying to get in. So this is impossible to explain from a secular perspective. You have to view it through a spiritual lens, and that is that God is protecting him. And this will become clear here in a moment. From dabblers to hardcore practitioners, witchcraft has been on the rise in the U.S. in recent years, significantly on the rise.
Yes.
It has become so trendy, there's an entire TikTok hashtag dedicated to witch talk. Witch talk. And it has billions of views. The occult has gained popularity in the political realm as well, once again on display during election season. And may I add, this is no surprise. As should not be a surprise. In the lead up to the presidential election, witches were trying to cast spells against Donald Trump. But this time around, they were reportedly frustrated their spells were not working. Toronto Star reported on one example in which a group of roughly 100 witches had been gathering by Zoom to attack Trump in the spirit realm. Quoting, armed with orange candles, tarot cards, or tarot, and a not-so-flattering photo of the former president. They cast a spell to block his return to the White House. The final words of their synchronized ritual, "You're fired," echo as Trump's image burned to the ground, the Star reported. The group is led by a woman with 25,000 subscribers on her mailing list, and she invited all of them to join her in hexing Trump before the election. But other news outlets reported that some of the witches were publicly bemoaning the failures of their spells against President Trump. An ABC news outlet in Alabama reported about witches writing on the Reddit forum that their spells would not work like before, with one of them saying she believes it's because many people are praying. Indeed. Therefore, he has a shield. A flimsy one, of course. Not bloody likely.
Very flimsy.
But a shield nonetheless. I'm trying to figure out a way to create spells that can bypass that, but it's difficult. No, you're up against God. Another posted, I hate to say this, but don't do magic against him. He has a form of protection surrounding him that fends off magic done against him. You will have better results if you focus your magic on helping his opponent or protecting yourself and others. Listen very carefully. Also writing on the witches versus patriarchy thread on Reddit, another witch agreed that quote, something appears to be protecting Trump from their spells. Yes, ma'am, it is the hand of God. Some other witches mentioned that doing spells directly against Trump are not as effective, and we might hope, as he seems to have some kind of protection around him, she complained. Trump has publicly acknowledged God's protection on his life and of his life on multiple occasions since he was nearly assassinated at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania in July. Witches seem to be obsessed with trying to hex Trump since he entered politics. As CBN News, as Christian Broadcasting Network, reported throughout Trump's first term in the White House, witches were publicly trying to bind him and even his Supreme Court nominees, casting spells against them, especially right before the 2020 election. The trendiness of witchcraft on social media makes some young people believe it's just a harmless hobby. But people who used to be practitioners of witchcraft warn it is real and it eventually destroys the person practicing it. That's what Satan always does.
Absolutely.
CBN News has spoken with an ex-witch named Jenny Weaver many times in recent years. She's now a Christian and believes, but she reports her teenage dabbling in witchcraft led to darkness and terror. I had such a fear that gripped my life, it crippled me. The next thing I knew, I was seeing things, I was hearing things, and I was being tortured by demonic spirits that had come in through the use of witchcraft. It was a very scary time for me. I didn't even want to close my eyes or wash my face. I was that terrified. If you think that it is innocent, I am telling you, it will take you down a road you do not want to go down.
That is absolutely
And I
correct.
Had to ask the Lord Jesus, forgive me. If you are practicing witchcraft, ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying and pleading with you to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. Amen. And so what has just been described is that spiritual war that I pointed you to early in this broadcast.
Right.
The question for you, of course, is are you rapture ready?
Well, yeah, and you know, getting back to the alien point you made, that very well may be what they say. Witchcraft needs to be rolled into this new religion.
It will all be rolled in. In fact, one of the questions we've had in the past, which is, and particularly from a secular perspective, we've had people ask many times, how is it that the false prophet will be able to draw everyone on earth who is not saved into a religious system that worships the Antichrist?
Right.
And how is the whole world deceived to worship Antichrist? Now, first of all, you need to understand that Revelation 13 is explicit, and these are declarative statements of God. This man is given authority. The scripture says he is given authority over every nation and tribe and people and tongue. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. So how does this accomplish? You can't explain it from a secular perspective.
No.
It has to be a spiritual one. And indeed so, because the short answer is they all worship the same God, wittingly or otherwise. So it doesn't matter if you're apostate Christianity, if you're Muslim, Hindu, Baha'i faith, Buddhist, any Eastern religious sect. At the end of the day, they're not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
They're worshiping Satan. And that, as I said, wittingly or otherwise. There are people who are Satanists who outright worship Satan, but others do not. They have these faiths, but they were still the genesis of those false faiths and religious systems have come out of the spiritual dimension. It is fallen angels and demonic entities which lead people into this type of darkness.
Absolutely.
back to which takes you back to the UFO phenomenon.
Yes.
Because these are fallen angels and entities and demonic spirits which are deceiving mankind as I speak. And this will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who remain and are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul said to comfort one another with these words, because we are removed before the judgment of God falls upon this world. Now, the Greek there is harpazo. It's literally to catch up or snatch away,
right,
to meet the Lord in the air. At the second coming, 7 years later, he comes back to the earth, and his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, which are on the east. And so we are going to be with the Lord forever. That at that point in time is when we receive our spiritual bodies. And
right,
these are permanent bodies like Christ, without disease, without sin, and we will never shed tears again. But in the meantime, and then, of course, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, will descend upon this world in two phases. The first half, the tribulation, the four horsemen ride forth, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, war, famine, pestilence, and death. 25% of the world population perishes in 1,260 days.
That's hard to, you can't
then,
get your head
you
around
can't
that.
Bury, you, that's roughly 2 billion people. Then at the midpoint, Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple of God and take his seat, displaying himself as being God. I have described my exegesis over the years that this man will take his seat on the mercy seat of God on the Ark of the Covenant. Preacher, you're crazy. Uzziah touched Ark, killed him. That was a normal man. This is not a normal man. And I can elaborate on that. I'm running out of time here. In fact, he's already beginning to wiggle.
I'm wiggling a little.
In any event, this is not a normal man. And God would allow that to bring to full fruition human evil. And then the great tribulation begins, which is the wrath of God poured out without measure. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament canon says that few men will be left. I'll make mortal man as scarce as the gold of Ophir, and few men will be left. I suspect probably only about 16% of the world population at the end of the tribulation period, because that's consistent with only 16% of the invading force which attacks Israel in the War of Gog and Magog described in Ezekiel 38. That's all that survives, 16%. So these entities are going to deceive mankind, and they're going to lead this world into darkness such it has never seen, into spiritual darkness and death. That's all that will remain, and the outpouring of the judgment of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when this hoedown begins, you do not want to be here.
Absolutely not.
You can't get your mind around it. I guess we're up against...
We're pretty close. Got to do the final thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll pick up the UFO discussion next week. You will want to tune in.
2 weeks.
Because it is sobering.
2 weeks.
I'm sorry. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, may I wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving as we celebrate our love for one another and celebrate the fact that God has blessed this nation. You need to thank the Lord Jesus Christ.
And our next new broadcast, just to note, will be on December the 5th.
Perfect. December, ladies and gentlemen. My final thoughts come from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. For in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He is the only hope for you for me and for this world. And the baptism mentioned is spiritual baptism, when you receive the new life and you are born again. The Greek there is anatonin, when Jesus described to Nicodemus that, "Marvel not that I say, you must be born again." I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and pass from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassert, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.